Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 432 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with Town Administrator Jamie Helen and Marketing Communications Specialist Anne Marie Tracy. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about the Town Council recap, in particular the hazard plan, Beaver Street Interceptor authorization, and the playground donation. We also talk about pandemic, updated COVID-19 dashboard, the restrictions that were extended 2 weeks until January 24th, and the vaccine for first responders, the pilot for which starts this week, including handling the media queries around the distribution. And then looking ahead, we talked about the business listening session on January 13th and a couple of council preview items, the stormwater utility fee coming down the pike, and then complete streets. Links to the key topics covered here are included in the show notes. The recording runs around 32 minutes. So let's listen to my conversation with Jamie and Anne Marie. All right, Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR-FM and on the local area Franklin dial at 102.9, starting out 2021 with another Talk Franklin session. Town Administrator Jamie Helen, happy Friday and welcome to 2021.
Happy New Year, 2021. We're all moving forward.
Moving forward. And Communication and Marketing Specialist Anne Marie Tracy, welcome.
Hi, Steve. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So the first of several sessions on a biweekly format in our 2021 piece. Yeah. And we start with a brief recap of the town council meeting on Wednesday.
We had a great meeting this past week. We were able to accomplish two of the goals that the council and the administration had set forth at the beginning of the year. The first was the finalization of the five-year hazard mitigation plan, which was required by FEMA at the federal level. This is the hazard mitigation plan. A lot of people may look at it and go, oh my God, we don't get tornadoes or hurricanes as bad as other places. But the main reason why it affects everybody locally has to do, I think, one, with flooding, in particular relative to climate change, but also how personal property is affected from potential flooding as the seas and rivers continue to rise slightly. That there's a concern about flooding. So for the town of Franklin, the big issue here really revolves around flooding and how it affects personal property. And unfortunately, and fortunately, depending on, who you are, where your land is, this also potentially affects insurance rates, but it also could affect the protection of your property if there was a problem, potentially in court. So it's one of these things that unfortunately you don't need it until it's there. It is a little bit, I'm not sure every 5 years, in my opinion, is the right increment. I think every 10 would be a little bit more appropriate. This is a very, very extensive process. And I also congratulate Brian Timberner and Jim Comfort from the town of Bellingham, who actually went out and got $48,000 worth of grant money to actually update this so that the town taxpayers didn't have to foot that bill. Mm-hmm. So it's a year to it. It's about a solid year process. It's very detailed. It's online. If you're having trouble sleeping at night, any of the listeners, you can take a read. But it is a fascinating thing. It does show, obviously, that climate change is a factor. I think the good news for Franklin is, obviously we're not on the coast. We're way inland, so there's obviously no immediate threat soon, but if people are interested, they should check that out. The big event of the meeting was the approval and authorization of the Beaver Street Interceptor. Many people may not know what that means. Just Google it. There's plenty of materials out there. Franklin Matters on franklinma.gov, the website. This is something that's been in plan for almost over a decade in Franklin. This is going to be the biggest public infrastructure project Franklin will see, with the exception of public buildings or school buildings, to be about a $25 million project over the next 5+ years. This is the pipe that is 109 years old and counting.
Mm-hmm.
It takes almost 2/3 to 3/4 of the town's wastewater and sewage over to the Charles River Pollution Control District. So number one, updating that infrastructure needs to happen. It's a project that goes through Mine Brook. It goes through swamps. It goes through wetlands. It goes underneath MBTA train tracks. It goes through and under the Village Mall, up Pond Street, underneath 140, underneath 495 at one point. This is just one of those things that for the safety and protection of every citizen in town, as Councillor Kelly articulated about as well as you could at the meeting this week, you know, is critical for people to be able to live their lives. And number two, this is truly an economic development project. One of the things that we hear of most right out of the gate from any investor, you know, that goes into an industrial park or sets up a large scale business in town, the first thing they ask is, where's the public water and sewer?
Right.
And when you get into the news cycle that you're investing and the taxpayers are willing to invest in that type of an upgrade, eyeballs and investors notice. So we hope that, you know, down the line, this also puts the town at a competitive advantage from a marketing and economic development standpoint. So if people are interested in that, it's a very complicated thing. You know, happy to look at the materials. And if folks really have any questions, they can talk to the DPW director, Bruce Cantareggi, or the water sewer superintendent, Doug Martin, for any specifics. We're here for you. If listeners are out there, they don't know what this is and they're concerned. Plenty of materials, and we're happy to sit down and talk to anybody on the phone or over email. So that's a big deal that happened this week. And then finally, you know, probably my words do no justice to thank the Vendetti family, Joe Vendetti and their family for their near $50,000 donation to the town to build a playground up at Beaver Pond. They've made many donations like this in the past. They're about as generous as you get in Franklin, and you just can't thank them enough. And Ryan Jetty and the Recreation Department for working with them on that project. So good stuff happening this week at the council.
Yes, indeed, there was. Put a quick plug in on the hazard plan I shared earlier this week. Some of the other key items in there, won't spend much time on it, but, you know, 25% of the people living in Franklin live alone. Read the details in the plan. To the flooding, 10% of Franklin is wetland. So yeah, when something rises, something's going to get wet. And to the extent that this now is updated, it'll further some of the work in regards to trying to mitigate and put in better catch basins, better, you know, waste management, stormwater management, which clearly stormwater is going to be a bigger topic later this year anyway. But the wastewater piece with the Beaver Street Interceptor, that's the biggest piece. So it was good to see that one finally start moving further down the pipe. No pun intended.
Oh, you totally intended that.
That totally. Just came up.
You've been waiting all week to say that.
No,
one.
That just came up. We'll go right by that one. And certainly, you know, kudos to the Vendettis. The expansion of the playground is going to be a good thing at Beaver Pond. That's a big town facility, especially in the better weather days, and having something for the kids, that's going to be a really good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I spent years, my kids playing, you know, sports through the rec department at that facility. And mm-hmm. you know, you have your other kids in tow, and they, what do? They, you know, they go to the playground. So, it's just such an amazing gift, to the residents of Franklin. So, very exciting and very, very generous.
And even in the times that we have, Chloe, they'll be socially distancing playing at some point in time. But in the pandemic, we've got an updated dashboard on the town page. And unfortunately, Governor Baker extended the restrictions another 2 weeks based on the overall numbers. Although from what I understand from your update, Jamie, on Wednesday, at least from a local perspective, we've at least crested on the from the Thanksgiving piece. We'll see what happens with the Christmas event.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, we'll get to the vaccine in a second, but, you know, I think that, you know, the issue that people should follow, I think, in terms of the dashboard is the great dashboards that Anne-Marie's been putting out for both the school department as well as the town. Actually, the schools and the superintendent were a little bit more in front of this than we were. We liked what they were doing, so we tried to mimic the same thing. As we know, the town went into the red for the first time in the whole year a few weeks ago. We were 0.02% above the threshold. And so then the holidays kicked in, and obviously the count in Franklin continued to go up. So we're still technically in the red. But I thought beyond just the red, yellow, and green concept, I thought, and Anne-Marie agreed, thought it was kind of the same thing with putting out some of the numbers to show people what the statistics were, and that maybe that would start to sink in a little bit more about the amount of tests that were going out, but also the amount of positive cases that were coming back, which obviously means, you know, disruption in people's lives, but also the potential for transmission. So those dashboards are up on the town website. And, you know, Anne-Marie, I'm not sure if you have any other comments about the dashboards or thoughts you want to throw out there.
No, so the dashboards, when we met with Kathy, just trying to give a little bit more information than was out there initially, just really trying to think about, you know, what the public would find helpful in order to just feel informed about what's going on in the community. So it's updated every Monday to reflect the last 2 weeks of data, so people can find it on the website. I usually share links to it on social media, but it will be updated every Monday.
And certainly we'll continue to help share and spread that info as it comes through as well. But the other piece getting ahead to next week, at least, the first of the vaccine distributions starts. And that's going to be a key piece for our first responders.
Absolutely. I mean, I this holiday week was probably the most relaxing, the only relaxing few days I think I've had all year. And then Monday came, and, you know, was kind of introduced back to work after 4 days off. And then by Tuesday, the vaccine regulations and details started coming out, and it was right back to where we started, where we left off in December. But, you know, when you start getting into the details and logistics of vaccines, while it's very tiring, very frustrating, and the staff and I are putting into a tremendous amount of work, every day I'm thinking while this is happening, yeah, this is difficult, and it's logistically challenging, and we hope that we can get off to a good start. We're talking about a vaccine rollout here. And so we can't lose sight of the fact that as we enter the new year, we have 500 doses, part of a regional coalition we have with Medway, Bellingham, Millis, and Franklin, and to be able to get to this point in Milford, and to get to this point where we're talking about 500 first responders, you know, getting vaccinated, we're putting all of our efforts into making sure that this is an extremely productive event, and that to do the best we can to strongly encourage all of our employees to take it when they have the opportunity right now. Hopefully a lot of those positive stories that we get can kind of get word of mouth out. And if there are allergies and other concerns that people have, this public conversation can start getting going, like that Mass General Hospital doctor that did have an allergic reaction. There's an EpiPen. Our firefighters our paramedics have bought and ordered an unbelievable amount of EpiPens to be prepared. When it gets to phase two in a month and a half, you know, mid-February, March, obviously, my messaging to the public is, you know, unfortunately, the good news is there's literally some sunlight and some light here at the in the near future, at the end of winter and the early spring. Please pay attention as much as possible to a lot of the information that's coming out. But unfortunately, everybody's going to have to be very, very patient, because even today, there's new dynamics every day that are coming at us. Just relative to the first responder vaccination rollout, let alone K through 12, early education, retail, grocery store workers. Once we get into that section of the public, there's even more questions. So we're very proud to host the clinic in Franklin High School in the gym. It is not open to the public. You cannot just get in. There will be guard police officers there. You cannot just show up and squeak in and whatnot. It's very tightly regulated by the state. But even every day with just the 500 people we're doing at the gym, this is a great trial run for what is ultimately going to likely be the spot where we're going to do the public vaccination rollout, which is what the high school was partially built for, Steve, as you remember. And Anne-Marie, yep, your kids were going there. You probably remember this. As the design was being done, it was built for shelters. It was built for emergency services. It was built to do vaccination clinics. By the time the first responders are also in, the UV GI project will just about be done, where the gym is probably going to be one of the safest buildings you could probably be.
From an air quality perspective overall.
The parking is good. The safety is good. So we're excited to get our first responders done over the next 2 weeks. Statewide, they're doing 45,000 in a month. I'm sure there's going to be some lessons learned from this. This is very, very important for when we get to K through 12 in the general public. And I'm just excited. And Anne-Marie and I talked about it in the office too. You know, here we are, Anne-Marie. You know, we're talking about vaccination rollouts. It's great stuff.
Yes, much. It feels good to be talking about this stage of the pandemic, even though obviously it's not over. We still have to be very vigilant. Everybody has to, you know, still follow all the guidance coming out. You know, people hear vaccines and maybe they want to get a little bit more lax with their health and safety practices, but we just need to make sure everybody out there is having the light at the end of the tunnel is so fantastic and feels good. We still have to remember that it's out there, and we have to keep remembering to wash our hands and remembering to social distance and wear our masks properly and just, you know, finish strong here. And, you know, I'm sure many people out there might have been seeing our new Do Your Part campaign that I've put out with the Board of Health. And I got to spend a wonderful hour or so hanging out with Ben Franklin, who is my model.
He's back.
So that was not the worst day at work I've ever had. it is important, and we're hoping that people will see the messaging and see the signing and just remember that even though we are, you know, getting into, you know, the vaccinations and all of that positive, the positive news, we still have to be diligent and respectful of our community and our businesses and everyone around, and just continue to stay as safe as possible.
Yeah. And while the light is there, based on the timelines, you know, it's clearly going to be at least through probably June, July, before there's sufficient people have been vaccinated that people can start talking about maybe we don't need the masks. But not until then. It's going to be a while. We're still going to need the masks. Because while the vaccine,
Steve, in the social distancing, and I would mention one other thing for people who are concerned about taking the vaccine. You know, we will have medical triage on site, so that when folks come in, you know, to there's a private place that an employee or a citizen can come in when it's their turn to be able to talk to nurses and paramedics about their condition to make sure that we properly flag as much as possible about how to do this. And, you know, I just can't emphasize it enough. I mean, if people are sick of masks, if they want to put their kids back in school, if they want to be able to go back to rock concerts, if they want to go back to Gillette Stadium, if they want to go back and travel, all of us, you know, the reality is everything we're hoping will go back is ultimately contingent upon how many people take the vaccine successfully. And also, most importantly, which is why we'll have medical triage tents on site, is also flagging people to the best of our ability who may have a problem from taking a vaccine as we learn more about this every single day. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's critical that if it's your turn, you know, and you're safe to take it, you really got to take it for the greater good, because this is the only way we're going to get back to doing all those fun things and things that we all love to do. So it's critical that people really pay
absolutely attention to this. And to the extent that there is triage, there is the facility. It'll certainly be some sort of appointment based. There'll be controls, as you mentioned. It will not be, quote, an open place. Media will be given certain access outside, more than likely, at least through some channel. Not everybody can go there because obviously there's also privacy issues for the variety of people, both delivering and then receiving as well.
This is also, while we're all really glad that this is here, I think behind the scenes, you know, there's still a lot of anxiety, you know, from a lot of Board of Health agents, you know, Chief McLaughlin, and, you know, we're all positive, but beneath the scenes, every day there's a new factor to this and a new element that comes up that needs to be addressed. And that's just going to be the way it is for the next 6 to 8 months, in my opinion, until by the time we get back to school, going back in September. We're just going to continue to learn more and more about all these vaccines. There may be additional vaccines approved in the future from different companies. There's a lot of dynamics to this. It's going to be very, very fluid and dynamic for every day here on out for a while. And from the media perspective, you know, there's HIPAA concerns, you know, privacy concerns. I mean, we wouldn't normally let in and have a videotaping of a blood drive or a flu clinic or another H1N1 vaccine clinic or emergency shelter so that people can take video cameras. Nope. You know, we are going to try to control some media to be able to come in. We're going to have a media designated area where, you know, reporters or some other approved folks will be able to go, because we do understand that having media coverage on these clinics is a critical piece to getting the message out and the word out to the community and to all the citizens. So it's a fine balance. But you're right, Steve. It's tough to just let people go in and videotape it all day.
But there's hope, and that's the key part. Obviously, we're still going to have some patients, but that's fine. It's coming. It's starting, and that's the best part about it. Looking ahead, starting in other areas beyond pandemic, we've got another business listening session next week.
Yes, we do. Next week is the last of our series of listening sessions with the Economic Development Subcommittee. The focus is on real estate, construction, and housing. So big topics in the town of Franklin, obviously. The agenda and links for the meeting are available online, and I'll be messaging them out on social media and in other ways on Monday just to give people the reminder about it. But it's definitely could be a really interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. It's at 6:30 on Wednesday. So we're hoping to have, you know, a good crowd of people to talk about this and to just discuss where we're going from here in Franklin relative to that, that genre.
Yeah. And there's lots of topics, both in the aforementioned hazard plan. There's interesting pieces in there. Only 5% of the acreage in Franklin is currently designated commercial and industrial. 25%+ is residential. We mentioned already the 10% wetlands, but 48%, I think it is. It's 40%+ is forest. So some of that's open space. Some of that we won't touch ever because of the way it is, which then puts the optimization around, okay, how can we do business in the spaces we have and do the best business we can to service the community, both from a business perspective and from a residential perspective.
Cool. Needs are constantly in flux. So it's just interesting to think about what we need going forward. Obviously we're all in that mentality of let's think forward, let's think positive. And you know, I think there's a lot of great things that could happen.
It is. Definitely. And this is going to be a unique session, unlike the other ones, because for a couple of things, we're going to have the planning director is going to give a short presentation that we gave to the Municipal Affordable Housing Trust recently. And in addition, the legislature just passed an extraordinarily complicated but massive reform package relative to housing on New Year's Eve. I finally have gotten the bill and some bill summaries. Actually, the town attorney is reading through it. This is a massive, massive package. I give a lot of credit to Representative Roy and Senator Spilka and Senator Rauch. We're kind of piling in a lot. And it's going to take us a while to go through it all, to be honest with you.
From a Governor Baker's going to, it's taking him a while to review it as well.
It's taking a while for him to review it too. You know, we expect a lot of it to stay because obviously he was a proponent of some of it, but
yeah,
it's an element that's going to, I think the housing issue transitioning is going to be an issue that the town of Franklin is going to be engaged in for a solid 2 to 6, you know, probably 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff in the bill is probably going to be required that we're going to have to update our code. I mean, our town code.
Okay.
And so there's some elements in there. There's some financial opportunities. The big change was that for a zoning change to go from 6 votes of 9 of the council down to 5 votes, the majority, not a 2/3. That is a substantial, that is a long, oh, long that did standing.
Make it? Okay.
It did. There's a long, long standing, the 2/3 supermajority was a long standing state law.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a tremendous amount of years to change that. That has its own dynamics with it, in addition to dozens of other provisions and financial incentives. You know, we're going to have to really, really take some time to dig into that and have an engagement. This is just going to be the first meeting out of this, but I'm really excited for it because I think it's something that Franklin residents have been really, you know, trying to understand and dig into a little deeper in recent years. And we were positively, we made the inclusionary zoning bylaw. We took it further this year in terms of public debate than we've ever had before. So we're proud of that.
Sure.
There was only one piece. And so, you know, moving forward over the next 6 months, this is certainly something that's going to be a big preview item, you know, on the council and EDC agendas, and people should really tune into those and really pay attention to some of the statistics and numbers and opportunities.
I think this is another point that certainly taps into a number of conversations that we've had over our sessions. Certainly it's going to lay into Community Preservation Act as that goes forward.
Absolutely.
But yeah, housing is one of our major issues. We need affordable housing. The other stat, 25% single, 50% of those are seniors that are living alone. And we already know that through the housing trust, et cetera, there's a 3-4, depending upon which way you look at it, wait list for affordable housing to get into the federal housing, et cetera. So it's an issue. How are we going to address it? At least people can come to the table and have the conversation and help make that determination. That's the key piece, I think, that comes out of this.
It is. And you just reminded me of something. We're going to be spending a lot of time probably at a staff level looking at the hazard mitigation plan, which has some demographic and numbers in it that are helpful and trends that you just spoke of, Steve. Then we also have the school study on that was recently done on the facilities analysis by Kessel. Yes. And so that had some interesting demographic numbers into it. And what made me think of it was the building down on East Central Street that had the new, four-floor residential complex next to Simon's Furniture.
Yes.
The pitch was that these were going to be younger families commuting into the city, and they were going to hop on the train and live the downtown life in Franklin. And ultimately what they ended up finding were those were downsizers that actually ended up taking out most of those apartments or buying them. They were empty nesters, which gets the Castle Booth study, which showed about what kind of transitions need to require to build the school enrollment population up.
Right.
And then you have the study that was done over the summer in terms of the market analysis. So at some point, and now you have this bill that was passed by the legislature with a tremendous amount of ideas. And then you have the community, which has had priorities and goals on the council agenda for housing, which we really haven't been able to address. There's a lot that's going to get spoken of here, and we're not even discussing, you know, the Maple Hill project that was in the Community Preservation Act, which both have some big impacts on housing in the future. So it's going to be dense, no pun intended on that one. I really just came up with that one. I'm like, you're piping.
Well, you know, Anne-Marie, you're going to have to come up with one now before we finish.
I know. I'm feeling a lot of pressure.
So there's going to be a lot out there. I'm excited about it. A couple other topics really quickly on preview items, just to hopefully whet people's whistles. Stormwater Ad Hoc Committee is going to have to give its report at some point in the near future. Council Hamlin and that group will come back with their recommendation that they voted on last summer. And another one that I'm looking forward to talking about soon is Complete Streets. We're hopefully going to have, in addition to this housing debate side by side, we're starting to lose some ground. I've been in favor of complete streets for a while, but it's, mm-hmm. it's another complicated topic of community development. You know, I'm really excited that I think we're going to be able to move this forward and at least bring it to a public conversation. What is complete streets? If you're a resident listening to this and you like the idea of creating your own Emerald Necklace concept in Brookline of connectivity between parks, downtown, sidewalks, bike lanes, trails, and you're into that type of community development, rail trail work, the Freeman Trail up in Acton Maynard, all these different projects are going. If that's the kind of stuff you're interested in, pedestrian friendliness, this is your topic. It's about trying to generate for the state a policy on how the town of Franklin is going to handle those issues. And you know, it should be a really, really cool debate. It's one that is pretty near and dear to my heart in terms of, outside access, recreational opportunities, bike lanes, sidewalks, infrastructure. It's really cool stuff. So I hope people get engaged in that. I think those are the few issues that you're going to, that's going too down into the future, but
no,
those are the issues that I think are going to be most prominent.
Yeah. And complete streets, just to that. It's as simple as the markings on the redesign of Main Street, et cetera, in terms of the two way, but it's really the mindset, to your point, in terms of how do I get from point A to point B? And is it public transit? Is it mass transit? Is it just the auto, which was primarily how we got around? And there's many ways to do that, but it's just thinking through all that and then having that conversation, come up with a plan as opposed to auto first.
That's right. And giving people, I think it's about choice. Ultimately, yes. It's about opportunities and choice. And
yep.
I know that a lot of younger families in Franklin have spoken to me in support of trying to do more. We've been trying to do more. And I'm hopeful after, the Maple Hill situation gets figured out, we'll be able to dive a little deeper into a lot of this. So we got some exciting maps, looking forward to it. And that's about it.
It's going to be a plentiful year. Lots of things happening, lots of positive things. Hopefully there won't be too many negatives along
the way. I'm tired from just talking about all that stuff, let alone just doing it. I mean, we're talking about housing, community. It's a lot.
For sure.
Water. Yeah. I mean,
if you also put in so that your days are now 24 hours, 48 hours a day, so you can accomplish more.
Don't sleep. Robot. No.
Indeed.
Indeed. Yeah. This stuff's fun. You know that, Steve. I mean, Emery. Yeah, it's like, these are the, I'd rather be talking about these issues than COVID. So.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Right? Yes.
So it's
yes.
Good to be able to walk and talk.
It is. Well, I think we've before we run out of breath, we've covered enough for this session. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with more, so stay tuned. But thank you for your time in the meantime, and enjoy the rest of the day, rest of the weekend, and I'm sure we'll see you along the ways.
Sounds good. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Have a great weekend. Everybody has a good one.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.